I count it a real privilege to be here this morning. About 35 years ago, God brought my wife and I to Manitoba. I didn't at that time actually realize why he brought us here, but he brought us to provide clinical services to school divisions in eastern Manitoba. When we got here, he settled us in Sandy Hook. Anybody know where Sandy Hook is? It's near Gimli. And at that time, there were very little evangelical work in that particular area. So after a period of time, we realized that God was directing us to begin a church. And they began a church. We began a church in our home. And so I was the first pastor of the Bayview Evangelical Free Church. And we started in our home, and after a bit, it got too small, got overcrowded in our living room, and so we went to a community hall and spent a few years there. And eventually, we were able to build the Bayview Church where it is now in Gimli. So when we look back, we feel really blessed that God's leading and directing us to that particular situation. I retired about 8 years ago, and looking for a new assignment for God. And one of the things he directed me to was to be involved with the central district of our conference. So we've been pleased to be part of that, and I remember very distinctly being here when you held the conference here, and the lovely fellowship, and also the lovely food that was prepared during that weekend, and we enjoyed very much having the district conference here. And I'm sure you're going to be asked to host it in years to come as well. I was also have opportunity to be here on a number of occasions, and it's always wonderful to meet with people that we met before and renew fellowship. I'm also impressed with all these lovely murals that you have on the walls. Very meaningful, and it really enhances our worship of God as we enter in and being reminded of what God has for us. Sometimes we negotiate things with God. Two passages came to my attention over the last few weeks after Mary Jo asked me if I would be willing to speak. And I kept going back and forth, asking God, well, which one do you want me to speak on? And as I started to wonder, and he led me to a passage that deals with God's wonderful benefits, God's wonderful provisions that he has for us as believers. James said that every good and perfect gift comes from above. When he talks about the gift that God gives, it's first of all good, in that it has intrinsic value. Whatever God gives us is of value to us. Not only is it of value for us, but it's also perfect in a sense that it is is given for the purpose of completing what he intends for us. God has given you gifts in order to perform certain things for him. So the gift that he gives is not only good, but it's perfect in a sense that it has a purpose and an end. We want to take a look at what God has provided for us from Psalm 16. If you have your Bibles, if you would like to turn and follow along as we look at God's Word. God has given us amazing provisions. And I'd like to point out three or four that comes from this particular song. I tend to preach mostly from the New Testament, but God has directed my attention that all of God's Word is from Him. And so when He's leading me to some of the other passages outside of the New Testament, I'm really enthralled and I'm really appreciative what God has done in the past that we can learn and appreciate in the present. The first thing I want to mention from this particular passage is God's gift of relationships. God, in eternity past, developed the relationship between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So right in the beginning of time, relationship was the core of living. When God created Adam, He said, it's not good for him to be alone. So He provided a companion, a relationship. So that relationship is at the core of what God has in store for us. So the prime relationship that God has for us is for God Himself. If you recall Solomon, a person who had everything, he had power, he had wealth, anything that you could think of. And as you read in Ecclesiastes, what did he say? All is vanity, vanity. Why is that? Because really meaning comes from involving God in everything we do. Everything is vanity unless God is central and God is part of that particular process. His conclusion was, life is unfair, there's weariness in life. The true value comes from including God in it. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, fear God, respect Him, and relate to Him. Keep His commandment. Only then will life have meaning and purpose. If you look at verse 2 of the passage that we're looking at, David makes an amazing statement. He said, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Here he's saying that, God, you are my Lord. When he looks at the first word there, Lord, he says, this is Jehovah. Jehovah, the eternal one, the everlasting one. This is my God. And he personalizes by using it, my God. But when he says, Lord, you are my Lord, he uses a different word for Lord. He uses the word Adonai. So what David is saying, God, the Eternal One, you are my Adonai. And Adonai is the word for ownership. It's the word for possession. So he's saying, David is saying, God, you are my owner. You are my possession. I belong to you. God, because He possesses us, we're special in His sight. If you recall in Isaiah, he says, believers are so special that your name is written in the palm of his hand, indicating the closeness and how special you are in His sight. Your name is right there in God's hand. Some years ago, my son-in-law gave me a very special card. When I grew up, Mickey Mantle was my hero. until I realized that his life wasn't what it ought to be, but that was years later. I grew up because Mickey Mantle was a switch hitter. I decided I want to be a switch hitter. And I always, to this day, bat from either side of the plate. The card that Rob gave me was a picture of Mickey Mantle with his signature on it. He has signed this particular card. Now, because of the past, this card is very special to me. So I got it encased in glass. I take good care of it. It's special. Because God, you are God's possession. You are very special to Him. He takes care of you because of who He is. You're special, and He wants the very best for each one of us. God wants best things for you. That is because His gift of who He is. We take care of our precious possession, and we are His special engraved name in His hand. In fact, we are so special that God sent Jesus to die in our place. How special is that? That the eternal God thinks so much of you, His possession, that He died in order to give you life. The second gift that I'd like to mention comes in verse 3. As for the saints who are in the land, they are glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Here David is saying, God delights in people around Him. God delights in people that are in your sphere of influence. If God is so delightful in the people that around you, how much should we delight in the people that are in our sphere of influence? God wants us to be delighted in our friends, in our believers. When we look at our church, do we really delight in one another? I know all churches, we have struggles and we have issues. But David is saying, or God is saying here through David, these saints, the believers, are special and delightful in God's eyes. And ought we not to be delighting in one another as God's gift to us? God has gifted you with relationships around you to enrich, to invigorate your life. There's a two-way street. We need to look for ways of delighting in one another, but also to receive the blessings that others give to us. When my wife and I go on trips, one of our prayers tends to be, whether we're visiting relatives or friends, Lord, make us a blessing to those that we come in contact with. And also, help us to receive blessings from those that we meet. We're here to bless one another. God is saying that our friends, those around us, are His delight. And we need to be delighting in them as well. I guess the question that comes to mind, Is this in our thoughts that we look forward to some way being a delight to someone else? There's a truth that every child needs to have someone in their life that think and show that they're special. It makes a world of difference if there's one person, even one person, that takes special delight in a child. Do we take notice of children and adults that need to have a special attention from us, need to be delighted and shown to be special? So thus far we've seen that God is very important in relationships. He wants us to relate to Him, and He wants us to relate to one another. From this passage, the second thing I'd like to point out is the gift of refuge. In verse 1 he says, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge." You know, have you noticed that life sometimes shakes us up? Everything's not a smooth road. We have bumps and we are up and down. There are potholes in life, like Manitoba roads, Manitoba streets. Life is like that. We get into bumps. But David proclaims this: "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I have taken refuge." When these bumps come, where do you run? Do you run to the safety of the refuge that God has for us? David uses a beautiful illustration when he talks about refuge. And he uses a word that become very special to my wife and to me as well. And it's the word shamar. That's the basic word for refuge. The root of that word, or the background of the word, comes from the shepherds. The shepherds used to be in the open field, and they would gather the sheep, but they would put a hedge all the way around. And the hedge would be filled with thorn. So the thorns would be there as a protective means. So when a wild animal would come and would try to enter the sheepfold, the thorns would keep them away and deflect them so they would go elsewhere. God puts a protective hedge around us. He protects us because of who He is. David is crying out to God, "I need this refuge. I need this safe place where the wild animals, when the evil one is unable to penetrate." God the protector. I'm sure we can all think of places and times when we've experienced the protection of the eternal God. I can recall as a youngster, as a teenager, at times we tend to be somewhat foolhardy. I was going up north to visit some friends. I must have been about 16, 17, just got my driver's license. And I was going down the road, started to go down a hill, and a thought came to me: I wonder how fast this thing will go. Anybody been there? I started off and tramped it, and going down a hill, all of a sudden, I realized that there was a valley to the side, ditch on the right side, and the back end started fishing. And going back and forth across the road, now trying to get control, and there was another car coming the other way, and trying to make sure that I was on the right side when I passed the car, and gradually slowing down, and finally got the fishing to stop. But at that moment, when I saw the car and just going from side to side on the road, I could sense the protection of the Almighty. I'm sure you can relate to experiences where you say, wow, if it wasn't for God, I'd be toast. God protective means. God is in the business of protecting us because he's put that shamar around us, the place where we can feel safe and secure. So we need to flee for protection in that hedge. In verse 7, it talks about God's protection through his counsel. In verse 7, it says this, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. When things in life come against us, we can go to the Lord for counsel. Because he wants the best for us, he will give us the words that we need, the message that we need. In my own life, when I'm preparing for a sermon, often as I wake up in the morning, some new insight, some new thought that I've been wrestling with comes to mind to incorporate into God's word. Often a song will be in my heart when I awaken. God's counsel, God's presence being part of who he is. God is in the business of counseling us as we need. In verse 11, we read, you have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. We internal pleasures at your right hands. Another gift that God gives us is his continual presence. God's word says, where should I go to get away from you? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. If I go to the other side of the sea, you are there. God's presence is continually with us. It's not God's problem. We are the problem, in a sense that we're not always aware that God is here. No matter where we go, no matter where we are, God's presence is there. Our prayer needs to be, God, make me aware of your presence moment by moment. The presence of God is everlasting. We need to pray, God, make me more attuned with you so that I'm more aware that no matter where I am, God's presence is there. We need to thank him for his presence even here this morning. God is here. Our responsibility is to be aware of his presence. Book written, practicing the presence of God. I remember Jim Houston. He's a professor and a writer, conference speaker, once saying, whenever he went out and he saw someone coming, his immediate reaction was, God, what do you want out of this encounter? God, do you want me to bless someone, this person coming? Do you want this blessed person to bless me? What is the purpose of this encounter? God, I want to be aware of what that encounter is. Practicing being aware of God's presence is another one of the things that God has provided for us in our daily living and daily life. The third thing I'd like to draw to our attention is God's gift of reason for being, or you might call it purpose. God gives us a purpose in life. And this comes from verse 5, where it says, Lord, which is Jehovah, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. One of the core values in life to make it meaningful is to have a purpose. Purposeless living tends to be downgrading. It tends to bring us down into depression, aimlessness, without a purpose. And God is a God that gives us a purpose in life. Recently, I was at a grad at the University of Winnipeg, and there we saw the graduates celebrating a completion. God is celebrating with us the completion of our task. One of the things that becomes very important is to recognize what is it that God is assigning us to do right now. Now, the assignment may be a life purpose. It might be short term. It might be something that He wants us to do at this moment. But God is has a purpose of assigning things for us to accomplish for Him. And one of the prayers that we need to have is, God, what is my assignment right now? What is my assignment? What do you want me to accomplish for you right now? God assigns things for us. But you know something? Not only does God assign us, but He also gives us a portion and a cup. And what's in our cup? Our personality, our traits, our talents, our gifts. He gives us a cup in order that we're able to accomplish the assignment that He gives us. He doesn't leave us without the tools. God gives us the things that we need in order to accomplish His assignment that He gives us. God is awesome. He gives us exactly what we need. One of my favorite people is a fellow called Tony Dungy. He's a football coach. He took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from a ragtag club to a winning team. Then he went on to Indianapolis, and he was the coach of the Colts and won the Super Bowl. Then in the midst of all this success, Tony resigned. Everybody in the sports world were wondering, why would someone at the top of his coaching career all of a sudden do this? Tony's response was simply this: God has another assignment for me. God had another assignment for me. So he left all that behind. And he became, at the moment, he was speaking for youth. He became very interested in youth because his own son had committed suicide. A devastating thing. And so God directed him because of his care now for young people. He was a speaker. Another area that was involved in was Dad's First. There were a number of things that he's doing in order to influence young kids. But the point being is that God had another assignment. And Tony was obedient to his calling. Are we willing to seek God and say, what is my assignment? No matter what it is, I will follow the thing that God is assigning us to do. What a challenge it is for us to be in that place. The final point that I would like to bring out is that the gift of resurrection. The latter part of this particular passage says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Now this is a passage that Peter refers to in Acts when he talks about the resurrection. And he's saying that God has given us proof that we will be resurrected in the last days. We will rise again to live with Him forever. And He says, "I will rejoice. I will be grateful because God will eventually bring me to Himself." Yes, salvation is the essence. The proof is in the resurrection. Christ lives in me, because God did not leave Jesus in a grave. He rose Him up as an indication that we will also be raised in the last days. So what have we been looking at? A summary of the provision that God has given us. He's given a relationship with God Himself. He's given us a relationship with one another. He's giving a sense of refuge, safety, secure, through His counsel, through His presence. He's giving us purpose through His assignments. He's giving us a cup in order that we fulfill the promise. But He's also given us a life after death. We have an amazing God. God that gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. As Peter states in 2 Peter 1, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. As we get to know Jesus, He provides us with the empowerment through the Holy Spirit for everything we need in life. Everything that we need in life and godliness. But the condition is by knowing Him. We need to build our relationship. We need to get to know Him better so that we're able to handle life no matter what life throws at us. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Amen.